Welcome to the Art of Unraveling podcast. My name is Erin McGuire, and I'm an empowerment coach and guide here to empower you into feeling completely worthy of a business and life that you love. This podcast is the place to learn how to unravel anything keeping you from that abundant, beautiful life that you so deserve. Nothing is off limits here as we navigate life through psychology, science, and spirit. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to the Art of Unraveling podcast. Today's episode was inspired by my grandmother. She has been the person that I've been probably closest to in my life, even closer than my own mom. And in the last several years, she has come down with dementia. And it's been really difficult to manage that for me. It's been overwhelming and just so hard to see somebody that you love kind of slowly deteriorating. Her dementia has gotten progressively worse in the last few months to the point that my family had to put her in a care facility. And the home that she lived in, that was my home that I grew up in. Essentially, I spent a lot of time there. We lived with my grandma and grandpa for the first 3 years of my life, and then we moved to Fort Dodge, Iowa shortly after that, and I would go spend a lot of time with my grandparents when my mom would go traveling or do this or that. So I spent a lot of time at that house, and it's really the only thing I have from my childhood that has stayed exactly the same my whole life. And in fact, my grandma kept everything. And so because I was there a lot, I had a lot of toys there. So it literally was like this place that was frozen in time for me and remained the same whenever I would go back. So because we had to put her in a home, my family decided to start getting rid of things in the house. And that was quite an undertaking for them. And I had to go back and look through some things, and the whole house was dismantled. And it was just so overwhelming in all regards, like my grandma not being there, the house kind of being taken apart, having to see her in a care facility with other people who were far worse than she was at that moment. It really put me in kind of a tailspin emotionally. And I remember on the last day that I went to see her and I was driving back, I think I cried the whole 3-hour drive. I cried all day. I cried all night. I cried the next day. It was just so much. It's just like the little inner child in me was just so lost. This was the person that was my support, my unconditional love. And that's slowly trickling away. And it's not what it used to be, obviously. And I'm now needing to provide that for her, and that's totally fine. But it's just been this shift, right? And then you add on, so it's her physical deterioration and the dementia deterioration. And then you add on kind of having to go through my stuff. I was saying to my cousin, I'm 40 years old, and this is the first time I've had to go through my toys and get rid of them. And it's just weird. Like, the whole thing is just so bizarre. And it's just that reminder of, you think that you've got all this time and you think that things are always going to be the way that they are. And it's not that I ever took her for granted or any of that for granted, but you just don't realize how quickly things can change until they do. And then it's just so overwhelming. So I wanted to make this podcast, that's a little bit about my grandma and my relationship with her, but I wanted to make this podcast to also bring light to the roles that women hold. Because after I was leaving my grandma, after spending time with her, I was thinking, you know, if she had to do it all over again, would she? And I think if you were to ask her, she'd be like, yes, she would tell you she was happy. She got to do what she loved. She was a caretaker through and through and care took her entire life. But I don't know if she ever got to experience true joy and freedom. But again, I think if you asked her, she'd be like, oh yeah, I'm totally happy. I would totally do it again. So I'm not here to judge her life or to say it could have been different. I'm just here to bring up conversation around the roles that women hold and the things that get passed down generation to generation from this mentality that society has for women in certain aspects. And so I just want to give you a little backstory about my grandma. So again, when I went to go visit her recently at the care facility, I was sitting there and it just kind of hit me all of a sudden. And I thought, oh my gosh, grandma, you've never not been caretaking someone until this moment, literally until she's been in this care facility. She's pretty much always been taking care of people. Well, basically since she got dementia. But when she was a kid, she was the oldest of four kids. And she basically was the responsible one. She would tell this story about how her parents were drunk and she was 6 years old and she had to drive the car because she was the only one that could like safely get her sisters and brother back to where they needed to be. I think maybe even her parents were in the car. I don't know the whole story. Because grandma had to be the responsible one and caretake her younger siblings, she really never drank alcohol, never smoked cigarettes. She was pretty clean laced that way because she saw what it did to her family growing up. So she was always that responsible one. She kind of took on that role of being the responsible one, being the caretaker. And then she did that from childhood on up until basically when she met my grandpa and they got married. I think it was around the age of 17 or 18. And then she immediately started having kids of her own. And she had five kids, one right after the other. So that's however many years of her life. And then basically my uncle Joe moved out of the house. He was the youngest, moved out at 18. And right around that time was when I was born. I was the first grandchild. We ended up moving in with them, living with my grandma and grandpa. And so she was caretaking me as well. And then she wanted me to stay there full time and just live there because she knew that's where I would be the most taken care of. And that didn't end up happening. So we moved to Fort Dodge when I was three, but I would still go visit a lot. So in that time that she was also caring for her own children, she was caring for her youngest sister. She was caring for her brother's daughter. And obviously I'm not the only grandchild. There were many other grandchildren that came after me. She cared for them when people would go out of town or needed a sitter or that sort of thing. So grandma was a caretaker and she cared took us all through food and love. She's an amazing cook. Grandma's food is just the best. Her homemade baked bread was just the best. And we're all of us are really missing that aspect of her that we no longer get to have and haven't had for several years now. We sat there and we realized that her being in the care facility is the first time she's ever had somebody else take care of her. People are making her food three meals a day and taking care of her every need. And this is like the first time she gets to just completely relax and let go. So I just wanted to talk about that, this idea of being the responsible one, the caretaker, and how grandma just took that on because that's what she had to do growing up, that she knew she needed to be the responsible one, the caretaker of her brothers and sisters at an early age. Otherwise, they wouldn't get what they needed. So she adopted that role and that became who she is and was. And again, I think she was totally happy with that. But I always wonder, you know, if she had not had that conditioning as a child, would things be different for her? Would she have explored different parts of her personality? But because she was programmed and patterned and conditioned as a child to be the responsible one, that became her role. That became what she did. And her mom was similar too. She was very much a caretaker through food and love. So it passes down through the generations. We just take it on as women. We take on all these responsibilities. For me, as I have been doing this podcast, I've realized I took on the role of being the responsible one and that was probably passed on to me through my grandma. But I was also the oldest child. I have a half brother who's 16 years younger. So it was basically I was the only child for most of my life. And then my brother came along. But I think that comes a little bit with being the oldest if you have siblings, that you take on more responsibility. But it also becomes this way that we get programmed, again, as children. Because for me, I needed to be the responsible one because there was a lot of chaos in my home growing up. And so if I had more control, if I did things a certain way, then my surroundings would be safe. I would feel safe. And what I've realized over the last several months, I have kind of this like internal system where I'm always 5 to 10 steps ahead of myself. Now, if you'd ask me, I'd say, well, that's how I've been successful. It's because I'm always 5 to 10 steps ahead. But it completely takes me out of the present moment, completely steals my joy. And it makes me get a little resentful from time to time. Like if my partner, for instance, isn't doing things that are in my head that I'm thinking about because I'm 5 steps ahead of myself, if he's not doing those things, then I get a little irritated. Like, why wouldn't he think to do the dishes right now? Or why wouldn't he think to put the load of laundry from the washer into the dryer? Why do I always have to think about those things and do them? And in fact, we had that conversation the other night and he said, well, you always do it. You don't give me the opportunity to. And I said, well, because the clothes would have sat in the washer and then they start to smell if they sit there for too long. So I'm thinking about it because I know it needs to get done. But it's like he doesn't have that internal checklist that's running in his head like I do. And so what is that? What is that internal checklist? And what would happen if we just let that go? Would the whole thing collapse? I think that's the inner fear for people who struggle with that internal checklist. Again, it completely drains you. It takes you out of the present moment. It doesn't allow you to be free. And it's not like I have it all the time, but I literally have to set relaxing time aside. Otherwise, it'll constantly be going like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, don't forget this, don't forget that. It's like this constant little voice, this little ticker that's going in the back of my head. It prevents me, again, from being present. It prevents me from experiencing joy. It makes me resentful to the people around me that I love and care about. It just makes me wonder if we pass down these things from generation to generation through our DNA, that's called epigenetics. It's totally a thing. It totally happens. I talk about this in another episode. So we pass down this legacy of like being a martyr or a caretaker or the responsible one or kind of a little bit of all of that meshed into one. And then we start to feel guilty if we're actually living our lives. There's like this hardwired thing in women to be the caretaker, to be the one that holds the to-do list. And what is that? And can we let that go? First, we have to recognize it. We have to bring awareness to it before we can let it go. But can we let that go so that your daughter doesn't get that, so that your daughter gets to be free and that you get to be free by releasing it? And with any of the work that I do, it's not just like we can snap our fingers and it goes away. But really bringing awareness to it and noticing how it shows up and maybe even thinking about how your mom and your grandma and your great grandma were as people and what of those traits do you feel like you have? Because obviously being a caretaker is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing and women are natural nurturers, that's for sure. And that's beautiful and we need that. We need that on planet Earth. But it comes with a price. It comes with the price of women often thinking that their identity is that, and that their identity is wrapped up in being a caretaker and being responsible and being the person that holds the to-do list and the grocery lists and the laundry lists and all that stuff. Then when kids leave the home, when transitions happen in life, it's like everything crumbles apart because that was their only identity. And so it's just it's having an awareness of what other things do I like to do? What things light me up? Making sure you're exploring different parts of yourself so that you get to be several things and not just have this one identity of a caretaker. I just did a session with an amazing healer. Her name's Patricia. And she told me that I hold a lot of tension in my shoulders, probably from being quote unquote the responsible one. And I've been really focused on that lately because I really want to work through this tension. I really want to move this stuff out of my body. And she was saying that, and I didn't tell her anything about this. She had no idea that I've been working on my shoulders. But when she did the healing session, what came through is that my shoulders are reflecting the belief that life must be a burden rather than joyful. And that just kind of hit me because that's the essence of what we're talking about right here, right? That life must be a burden instead of being joyful. If that resonates with you, then that's a huge red flag to really look at what does bring me joy. Because honestly, I've had clients over the years many times that when I ask them, you know, what brings you joy? Where do you feel like you can play? I mean, I get like a deadpan look and they're just like, I don't know. And why is it so hard for us as women to play? Why is it so hard for us to rest? When we have these burdens on our shoulders, it's going to make it next to impossible. So my advice for you this week is to just journal around that. Am I letting myself experience joy and pleasure? And if not, why? Do I see that as bad in some way? Do I feel like I have to always be responsible and always hold the to-do lists? Can I ask other people around me for help? A lot of us have a lot of weird beliefs mixed in with that, that asking for help is wrong, that it's vulnerable, that people are going to think we're weak or that we no longer have our stuff together. Because if you've been holding that title of being the responsible one, the to-do list holder and all of that, then probably the people in your life are like, she's my rock. She's got it together. She holds up this family. And again, that's beautiful. But it comes with a price, and you've got to be willing to look at the dark side, the underbelly of that identity, of that belief system, and just to make sure that you're allowing yourself to get to know these other parts of you, to get to experience more joy and more pleasure. I know I'm working on that right now. I'm sure I'll make new podcasts here in the future about stepping into pleasure and joy and what that looks like. But for now, I just want to leave you with this thought and really think this over and how does this show up for you? I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear how this resonates. You can message me at Instagram at Pure Light Wellness. Just pop over there. Don't forget to follow me. Leave me a message if you have any questions or if you have any comments about this podcast. Honestly, I love getting those messages from people. I love hearing how this is inspiring you or making you think about different things. That always brings me so much joy. And also, if you're looking for a little bit deeper way of working through some of this stuff, my Empowered Women monthly membership is a beautiful place to be. Every month you get 2 yoga classes. We go deep into a group coaching call around a topic. There's a new topic every month having to do with healing or rising into our greatness in one way or another. You get an energy healing session with me and you get a breath work session. So breath work, meaning we go deep into different breath work types that help move stuff out of your subconscious so you can heal. So you get all of that every month. It's a wonderful group of women. And this is just a place to be if you want to have some additional support. If you're one of those people like me that knows that some of this stuff you're just not going to do on your own and you need that guide and that group to support you and hold you accountable, this is the place to be. So you can reach out to me again at Pure Light Wellness about that on Instagram. And thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. And I hope we see you again soon. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. If you would like to connect with me more, you can find my website, my services, and my social media links all in the description of this episode. Remember, you are a beautiful and divine and powerful being, and it's time to own it.